This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we are here to glorify your name. You've placed it on this earth to glorify your name. It's not about us. It's about you. It's about you, the creator of heaven and earth. And today, Father, we can come again as a congregation and celebrate. Celebrate it again, who you are. That you love us so much that you've sent your Son. That Jesus is the victory. And that we can walk upright. That we do not have to feel ashamed. Because we are a child of the living God. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you for that. And Father, maybe there are things which are distracting us, and we hear the wind on the outside and which is maybe trying to get our attention away. Father, I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to focus on what you want to share with us this afternoon. That we are ready to receive what you've got for us this afternoon, Father. And that we can nourish that. That we can protect that. And that we can hold it with us, and that it can help us in the rest of our relationship with you on this earth. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that celebration, and thank you for that meeting what we've got with you this afternoon. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Do not be too much worried about the wind on the outside. This building has been built in 1910, which means it's more than 100 years ago. It's still standing, and if it could stand for 100 years, it can stand for another afternoon. So don't worry about the wind on the outside. So many times we say something, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. But we don't do it. And so many times we make a promise, we don't keep that promise. And I see quite a few of you people nodding, so yes, it's happening in your lives as well. It's also happening in my life. I'm also guilty. I also have got to repent of that. But there's an awesome word from God. Isaiah 55 verses 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall accomplish what I plan, and it shall prosper. It shall be a blessing in the thing for which I send it. And this is what I feel that God wants to speak to us this afternoon about, is that the words, his words, are not going to return void to him, but it's affecting our lives as well. And that's where the Lord wants to shake us a little bit, wake us up this afternoon, and share with us concerning that. And that word void means nothing, empty. There's nothing in it. God's word is not returning empty. It's always doing what it is supposed to do. God's word, God's spoken word, is always full. God's spoken word has got value. If we really want to have a good example of God speaking and reaction coming directly out of it, then there's only one place where we can go, and that is Genesis 1 with the creation. God was speaking and it happened. I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'm just going to quickly touch a few of them where where it says, God said and it was good, or God said and it was so. And those verses we can find in Genesis 1, which is going then from 3 to 31. Verse 3, where God created light. And God said, and then a little bit later, it was good. It happened. It is not a success rate of 50% or maybe 25%, or maybe in our case, maybe only 10%. But it happened. it was good. The second day, firmament, God said, and it was so. The third day, dry land, God said twice, it was so. God said, and it was so. The fourth day, with the light bearers, again, God said, and it was so. You can see the success rate. You can see it. God's word is not turning void back to him. He speaks, and it's happening. Day five, fish and birds, and God said, and God saw that it was good. The sixth day, the animals and the humans. Now we will maybe think, okay, now it becomes a little bit tricky, because it's not each and every day that you can create an animal and create a human being, but it's happening. God said, and it was good. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, it was good. And at the end of it, it says, it was very good. The humans, it was very good. So you are very good. God says so. You're very good. And that is what God is doing. In the beginning, he's creating order in a creation. And each and every time we can see, God said, and it was so. God said, and it happened. And then 5 and 6, he brought life to the creation. And then he says, and it was good. And it was very good. But there's something else with the creation, what God also did. He didn't only create, but he also revealed his plan. What was his plan, actually, what he wanted to do? And we are part of that plan. Yet we can read in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So it's not only that God is creating, God is also putting his plan into action. And he's putting that authority and dominion. He's also talking about it. And he's putting it into place. Verse 28 is confirming that again. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over everything that moves on earth. God created and he instituted that dominion, he instituted that authority, what we've got. Now you must probably ask in a question, okay, if God gave that dominion and authority, he gave that to Adam and Eve, is it still applicable to us? And if yes, do we still use that authority? Do we still use that dominion, what God has given us? And can we use that authority and dominion, can we use it over ourselves, or can we also speak over a certain area? How does it actually work? Those questions I'm going to come back a little bit later to, so those answers I'll speak to you a little bit later about. But as God was creating and as God was instituting that authority and that dominion and giving it to Adam and Eve, there was one who was not happy. And it was the enemy, the devil. He didn't like that because he doesn't like what God created. So he's trying to do whatever he can do to stop what God has been creating. And where is God going for? Of where is the enemy going for? He's not going for the cows or the horses or the dogs. He's going for the human beings because the human beings have got authority and dominion. So he's going for the top. He's going for those who have got authority and dominion over everything in the world. And this is where the enemy is trying to, whatever God has created, he's trying to destroy it. And then the enemy, he succeeded. Adam and Eve were deceived. And the dominion and the authority were actually taken back. Or were taken back, they were stolen by the enemy. But still, God's word, God's plan is not going to return void or going to return empty to him. And And he had a plan, God, and he sent his son to restore. Amen. To restore that relationship again. The enemy is quite crafty. He's quite clever, and he tries to stop whatever he can stop. The first thing what he tries to is that the people are not going to hear the gospel, so that nobody is actually spreading the gospel, because then steadily nobody knows about God, and nobody knows about the authority and the dominion which we've got. And if the people are hearing the gospel, then he's trying to keep them blinded and deaf, that they're not going to understand the gospel, that they're not going to accept Jesus Christ. And then the third thing is, if the person hears the gospel, accepts Jesus Christ as a savior, then he's trying to get them passive, that they're not using the authority or the dominion what they've got. So the enemy has got a nice three-stage plan in action, and he's trying to stop whatever he can stop for what the creation is concerned. If we take a look at where the people are talking about in the world, they're talking about Genesis, about the revolution and of the evolution and creation. There's a big dispute about it. And about the existence of heaven, which we find in Revelation. So as soon as you are putting question marks behind those two things, about heaven and about creation, then you're going to put a question mark on everything in between. Then you say, but I don't believe in creation, I believe in evolution, and I don't believe there's a heaven afterwards, then actually the whole thing in between doesn't make any sense. So what is the enemy doing? Enemy is putting that. So at the schools, they're talking about evolution. God's word says creation. And we've heard it again, God's spoken word. As soon as God speaks, things are happening. And that's what we believe in. Because that is also the same as what we come to Revelation. If God says that there is going to be a heaven, then I'm trusting his word. Then I've got faith in that word based on what I've already seen and heard and experienced from him. God's spoken word has also been brought to us through the prophets. And I'm talking about after Adam and Eve, we've seen the judges, we've seen the prophets, we've seen kings as well, anointed ones, who were speaking, but God was speaking to them, and God was also speaking through them, that God was giving certain instructions to them. But what God is doing as well at a certain time, and it's actually such a beautiful verse, again, what I like is that Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10, that God is just actually confirming again. Nearly I can imagine, it's a table, and God is sitting at the table over there with Isaiah there sitting on the other side and busy writing down. And God smashes the hammer of his hand on the table, and he says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is no other. There is no other God. And again he says, for I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. And that's so important if we must understand it, that there is a God who reigns, a God who creates. And if we're putting a question mark behind that, if there's a God or not, if there's not a God, then we're putting a question mark behind the whole belief of God, Jesus Christ, in heaven. And he carries on, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I will do all my plans. God is confirming who he is and what his plans are. And we've got to believe that. And God wants to speak through the prophets. And the invitation would be actually hear from God through the prophet Isaiah over here. And I'm going to read a few verses now, but the content of those verses is actually so beautiful. Where it starts in 55 verse 1, ho, everyone who thirsts, everyone is thirsty at a certain time in your life. And when wintertime, it's maybe more coffee and tea or hot chocolate milk. In the summertime, it's maybe a glass of water. But we are getting thirsty. It's something which is happening on with us on the inside. And then he carries on. Come to the waters. And you who have no money. Because you do not have to pay for it. What we've got to do, we've got to believe and we've got to surrender. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. And yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without a price. God is offering it again to the people and say, but this is for free. There's nothing but I'm asking you that you should pay for it. And then he carries on in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And that is in our lifetime. We hear it quite often on a Thursday evening that the people say, when we speak to them about the gospel, they say, not now. When I'm a little bit older, when I've got a little bit of more time, I may be bored at an old age home, then I maybe can think about it if I want to hear or I want to listen or maybe read something about the gospel, but not now. It can be too late. Because today you can be here and tomorrow it's gone. The week which is past now, I had a staff member whose husband died in a motorbike accident. Both of them left the house that morning. She went to work and he went to work. And she got a phone call. He got an accident. She went to the accident and in the meantime, they informed the office and said, no, he passed away. It can happen so quickly. And then it's gone. And that's what God is saying. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will be abundantly pardoned. And then God is saying in verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. God is thinking on a different level. God is above time. Now, we cannot work without time. If we haven't got time, it would be very nice to see who's going to pitch up on a Monday morning for work and on time. I don't think a lot of people will say, okay, there's no time. It's needed. We need it to structure us. But God is above time. We cannot imagine it, but just a little bit of an idea. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We cannot bring God down. We cannot say, okay, God, you must come down, you must work on this service over here. We can go now to God. He's above time, and he's above, because it's his plan and his creation. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, that's for blessings. They do not return there, but they water the earth so that fruit can come forth. And make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And then a beautiful verse. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall accomplish what I plan, and it shall prosper. It shall be a blessing in the things for what I've sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth in singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The creation is responding to the words of God. How beautiful is. If you watch cartoons on a regular basis, you maybe can imagine that the trees are clapping hands. But the creation is responding to God's word. They have got contact with their Creator. How much more we, as part of the creation, who've got the authority and the dominion over the creation, that we shouldn't have a relationship with God and that we shouldn't be glad about it. But of course, logic. The best example that we can get of the spoken word from God is through Jesus. And sometimes we ask, did Jesus speak on himself? Or did God speak to him and then he spoke to the people? John 12 will give us an answer on that. For I have not spoken on my own authority, this is Jesus speaking over here, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. So God was speaking through Jesus, and things were happening as what God was instructing him. God sent Jesus to the earth to restore that broken relation which came back from just after creation. And then the enemy is there again. Jesus hasn't started his ministry yet, and immediately, knock knock, the enemy is at the front door. And before Jesus can start talking, he's tempting him. But listen what he's asking. And when the tempter, when the enemy came, we can call him the devil, we can call him Satan, he said, if you are the Son of God. Again, that question mark. The same as what he went to Eve. He asked Eve as well. Did God say? God said, if you are the Son of God, he is the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And then Jesus' reply, but he answered and he said, it is written, man shall not go by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's where we live from every spoken word which is coming from God, because that has got life. That's where we are living from. Enemy is asking us maybe, when we want to do something, when we want to pray for somebody, and the enemy looks at you, who are you? What authority do you have? We're going to add those two questions to the other questions. God spoke with his creation. God spoke through the prophets. God spoke through Jesus. And God is speaking now to us through the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God was with the Israelites. He was restricted to the tabernacle and later on to the temple. And then Jesus came, and the people could, I nearly can say, face to face, meet God. God is even going a step further. He's placing a part of his, of that Trinity, the Holy Spirit, he's placing it inside us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, God is speaking to us now. And is giving God us now the authority and the dominion? Yes, he's giving us. He's giving us the authority and the dominion. We've got it. We can use it. Because Jesus took it back at the cross. And in the name of Jesus, and through the name of Jesus, we've got that authority, and we've got that dominion that we can use. Listen to what Jesus said to Peter. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. You are the rock. What did Peter say before that, before Jesus replied? He said to him, you are the Son of the living God. He confirmed who Jesus was. And then Jesus said, you're Peter. So if we confirm that Jesus in our lives is the Son of God, then we're going to be the rock on which I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, that enemy who wants to stop it, shall not prevail against it. He's not going to manage that. We've got a dominion and we've got an authority. And I will give you the keys of kingdom of heaven. Keys are opening up something. Keys are giving you authority, access to a certain area. He's giving it to us. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, spoken word, whatever we say. We've got the authority with that spoken word. And we can use that authority. We cannot tell God what to do, but we've got a legal right of God's plan, what He's revealing to us through the Holy Spirit, to speak it out, and that things are going to happen. And we've got permission to bind on earth, because it has been bound in heaven, and we can loosen on earth because it has been loosened in heaven. Now we're coming back again to those questions. Do we have the authority and a dominion as what it was given to Adam and Eve? And if yes, do we still use that authority and that dominion which was given to us? Do we use it over ourselves? Can we use it over ourselves and over the world around us? And when we hear it, when the enemy is talking to us, one of the first things he will say, but who are you? You can ask Renee at a certain time with deliverance as well. The enemy also spoke to her and said, but who are you? And Renee just confirmed who she was. And then she spoke, and the enemy had to react. The enemy had to go. The answer has got two parts in it. The first one is, we've got to say who we are. I am a son of the living God through Jesus Christ, my Savior. I am a daughter of the living God through Jesus Christ, my Savior. And if we say that, we actually confirm that. And when we can radiate that out, and then we can say, God gave authority and dominion to Adam and Eve. It was stolen by the enemy, but it was taken back by Jesus at the cross, because He died for my sins. And through Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, I've got authority and dominion. I've got authority and dominion to speak, to bind and to loosen. Jesus has given it. Jesus has said it over there. And Jesus is confirming it as well in Luke 10:19, where He says, behold, I gave you the authority, speaking to His disciples when they came back from a mission trip. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Not the enemy, the power of the enemy. That's the authority. That is the dominion what we've got through Jesus Christ. By nothing shall any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in it that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's the first thing. That's actually the front door. We've got a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And once we go into that front door, then we can have that dominion, and then we can have that authority. Matthew 28, just before Jesus ascended to heaven, and Jesus came and spoke to them and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Then we say, okay, Jesus has got all authority. But listen what the next words are. Go therefore. So it's relevant that Jesus has got all authority. But Jesus has got all authority on heaven and earth. But He wants us that we should have dominion and authority on earth. We cannot rule in heaven. That's not for us. But we shouldn't be only focusing on the here and now. We should also speak life about the future. If we take the last book of Revelations, three times Jesus is mentioning there, I'm coming quickly. Verse 7, behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. And again in verse 12, and behold, I'm coming quickly. And my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. And then again, he who testifies to these things and says, this is Jesus speaking, surely I'm coming quickly. And then John replies, and John says, amen, come quickly. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. That's something what I feel what we're sometimes forgetting about it, of doing it. We've got to ask for it. That's what John is saying over here. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. We've got to speak it out. We've got to proclaim it. We've got to say it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. God wants us that we should speak life. That's what God has been speaking, life, creation through the prophets with Jesus. We've got to do it now. Many times, and I've got to say it, the bad thing is that a lot of times we hear in the Netherlands that the people are not speaking life to each other. They're speaking death to each other. Yes. They're using the word cancer, and then they speak to somebody else. That's not life. That's speaking death. I tried to figure out if there was the percentage of cancer, if it was higher in the Netherlands in comparison with the other countries, but then I thought, I'm not going to compare that and maybe give you some stats or so. We've got to speak life. And if somebody is speaking that over you, you just cancel it. You say, I'm not accepting it. It's not for me. But please, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't speak cancer over somebody else. You can't do that. God is telling us we've got to speak life, because he is giving us that authority and he is giving us that dominion. When I was busy with the sermon, I realized again, I'm not always speaking life. I'm not always speaking life, but God wants me to speak life. I'm not always speaking life over the congregation. I'm blessing Renee each and every day. Yes, I'm speaking life over her. But I'm not speaking life over the congregation each and every day. I'm not speaking life over Utrecht each and every day. And I repented from it. I said, Lord, I'm repenting for it. I want to speak life. As what you're speaking life and things are happening, I want to speak life. I want to speak your plan over the people around me, over this congregation where we are responsible for, over Utrecht where we are responsible for as well. The Lord gave us the keys of Utrecht. That's where we are responsible for. And we've got to speak life. If we're speaking life, we speak in God's plan. And what is God's plan? That people are going to get saved. That people are going to hear the gospel. That people are going to turn around. Instead of walking away from God, that they turn around, that they say, God, I want you to be my Father. Isaiah 55 verses 11. I'm taking it now out of the Amplified. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect or useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the things for which I've sent it. God spoke life and gave authority and dominion. We receive the authority and dominion to speak life. If our words are God's plan, they are not going to return void. If we are speaking out God's plan, then those words are not going to return void. And God wants to use us. God wants us to speak life. In our own life, in the area around us, in the town where we are staying, or whatever God is putting on your heart, if it is in China or in Taiwan or whatever it is, if the Lord is putting you on that heart, on your heart, then you pray for that people, then you speak life over those people. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you want us to speak life. That you want us to take the authority and the dominion which Jesus has given to us. And Father, if we hear again this afternoon, then we just say, sorry, we're not doing it. And we want to repent of that this afternoon, Father. That we are not exactly doing what you ask us to do, Father. That we fail. The enemy is happy about it. But Father, we want to be what you want us to be. As what you gave to Adam and Eve, authority and dominion, that we take it up this afternoon as well. That we are speaking life, life in our own situation, and life in the people around us. And as all eyes are closed at the moment, I feel there are a few things what the Lord is saying that we should speak life about this afternoon. And if you're here, and if you are in a situation that you say, I'm not happy in my work, or I'm looking for work, then I'm asking to raise your hand as all the other people's eyes are closed. Father, you see those hands, and you know exactly what is the circumstances of those people who are raising their hands at the moment. And Father, the enemy is trying to make it uncomfortable for that person at the moment, that we are focused on that and that we are not speaking life. But Father, you've given us authority that we can bind on this earth, which has already been bound in heaven. And we're binding the enemy's powers now. And we say, you're not going to disturb that person any longer. You're not going to make that working place uncomfortable for that person in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're doing it because you've given us the authority, Father, in the name of Jesus. And for that person who's looking for work at the moment, Father, I pray, Lord, that the enemy is going to release what he's trying to keep back, that a person can be placed in work where he can be an ambassador, or she can be an ambassador for your kingdom, Father. And this is what I want to speak life about, Father. That person, those persons who've raised their hand, Father, that they are going to be an ambassador for your kingdom in that working place. That the discomfort of the working around them is not going to keep them quiet. It's actually changing them around, that they move into action, that they take the authority, that they take the dominion over the power of the enemy, and that they quiet the power of the enemy, and then they start speaking life. You're speaking life over that work, Father, that your kingdom can come also at that working place, in the name of Jesus. The next one, what I felt what the Lord was saying, if it is at the moment not that well in your marriage, you can raise your hand. If you do not want to raise your hand, it doesn't matter. But I feel that I've got to pray for that as well. Father, the marriage has been instituted by you. The husband and wife has got to be one. The husband and wife has got to be a unit, Father. This is what your word says, that they should be together. But again, the enemy is coming and is trying to split it up. And Father, I pray, Lord, that a husband and a wife will both take the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. That they say, enemy, we bind your powers. You're not going to destroy our marriage in the name of Jesus Christ. But I speak life. I speak life about our marriage. That our marriage is going to be an example for other people around us, that they can see this is what God instituted. And God is the creator of heaven and earth, and he created husband and wife as well. And that's what is part of God's plan. And if we speak that life, then the words are not going to return void. And it is going to happen in the name of Jesus Christ. And the third one, Father, is something where we are all aware about. And that is China at the moment, Father. And we're actually crying for each and every life which is lost, because it's an opportunity for a person to accept Jesus Christ who's lost now. And we don't know if the person accepted Jesus Christ or not. And Father, again, we use that authority, that dominion what we've got, and we say, enemy, stop stealing over there in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we speak life. We speak life that something is going to be invented, that this epidemic can be stopped, Father. That this flu is not going to steal any longer, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we also speak life, that this is going to be place for the people to seek your face, to start praying and to say, but you are the creator of heaven and earth. There's only one place where we can go to, and that is you. We speak life over China, Father. Eternal life. Your life, because you want each and every one of us, Father, to be with you in heaven forever and ever. Thank you, Father, that we can bring those situations to you. And Father, as our eyes are closed at the moment, if there's anyone who says, but I'll always have been a spectator, I've always been on the outside, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and this afternoon I'm hearing that message again, and I've heard it before, But this afternoon, the Holy Spirit is stirring my heart. I've got to take the decision now because tomorrow could be too late. And if it's that's you, then I'm asking you now to raise your hand. If you want to start a living relationship with the living God this afternoon, you've never made that decision in your life, and the Holy Spirit is stirring you, and you've got to react now, then I'm asking you to raise your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can turn around of being defensive, where we just let all the things being dumped on us, Father, that we can take authority, that we can take dominion, and that we can speak life, that we can become offensive, because we've got the authority. We've got dominion. You've given it us through the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is our Savior. That's why we can speak life. Life in our own personal life, in the people around us, in the town where we're staying, the work where we are working, or studying, whatever it is, that your kingdom can come on earth as it is in heaven. To you all the glory, to you all the honor, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to share what I saw when we started worshiping. It's a small boat, but its anchor is like a big cargo ship anchor. And I just see the chain. And as the storm goes around, this little ship goes all in circles. The anchor is out, and it's just holding the little boat, and the boat is going around. And I feel it's someone here who feels the, I don't know if your life is just the mess, or you just go in circles, or but this anchor is keeping you. But I feel God is saying we must pray for you, that storm can stop. But God is holding you with that chain.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.